Hola amigos, welcome to the Dennis and Friends podcast, a place where my friends and I like to talk about whatever we want to talk about, whatever interests us or what's going on in life and around the world. I am Dennis, I host this show. Welcome to episode 55. After just a long week of episodes, we just keep going. And tonight, it's Friday night, December 2nd. We are just a few hours away from the beginning of the knockout stages at the World Cup. So to talk about it with me is my trusty sidekick.
Me.
Clayton Cooper.
Yeah. There's some exciting matchups. I can't wait to talk about them.
Yeah, we are very excited. Very, very spicy. Very, not what we thought. I'm sure our predictions were all wrong after that episode, so.
How sad that Cameroon didn't go through.
I know.
That was my one pick I wanted to happen. It didn't happen. I was just sad.
And they almost did, man. They almost did. Okay, before we talk about what happens this weekend, we're going to start with some discussion on the games today. Keep it kind of brief. I'm going to let Clayton talk about the U.S. game because I feel like he should. So. And preview that for himself, because I've already done like two previews of that. And I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to say the same thing that I said over again. So anyway, we're going to start with the games today. Like I said, we're going to start with, let's start with Ghana-Uruguay real quick.
A very controversial game from what I saw. It's like, especially with like the Uruguayan players' reaction after the game, it obviously didn't seem great because there's multiple yellow cards at the end of the match. And I mean, I don't know why they gave out yellow cards. It doesn't even matter because they already got knocked out.
Right.
So it was just like,
is that going to carry over to their like next friendly or something?
What would they even do? It was just
a
yellow card.
I
was like, cool, you got carded after the game. But I mean, looking back on some of those replays, I thought that they could have been called penalties easily. Two of them.
Yeah.
Because I know there's three of them, but one of them didn't really seem like it. But two of them, you could have a very fair argument to say that those were penalties. And, like, it could have changed the swing of things, but also, didn't it also rely on a team winning? Or how would they have gone through?
They would have needed Korea to not win. I think that's what ended up happening. Because Uruguay won the game.
Mm-hmm.
They won 2-0, and they finished third. But the only reason they are not advancing is because of a tiebreaker. I don't know what it is, because they had the same goal difference as South Korea. So
is it head-to-head?
Maybe head-to-head. Maybe goals four. Maybe the yellow card won. I don't know. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you.
That's interesting.
But they needed Korea to not win, and that's what Korea did. We'll talk about
Korea
them in a sec.
Korea did win. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a very fun game. Disappointing for Uruguay, man. I'm going to take the L on that, too. I've taken a lot of L's this week on Denmark, and now I'm taking an L on them, which is super disappointing.
I'm taking the L with you because I also said that Darwin was going to like ramp up in the World Cup, and he didn't score any goals.
Yeah, his best game was like the first half of the game against Portugal, and after that, he like faded really hard, which is super sad. But from a Liverpool's perspective, he gets to go home a little bit early, gets a little bit of rest, and then he can be a little bit more fresh for the end of the season because we need to make top four. Anyways. Just if I'm Uruguay, I'm kicking myself over not winning the Korea game because they had a lot of chances to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Some nice play from Valverde was from that game. I thought their attackers just missed some key chances, and it was nice to see the passion that they had like after they scored, because you can tell that was like a big sigh of relief because they hadn't scored all tournament and have been really frustrated by that. So. Yeah, I mean, they didn't deserve it, though, based on their play against the Korea game. The Portugal game is fine. Like, they played okay. They just got unlucky a little bit. The goals were not normal goals, I would say. So they got a little bit unlucky there. Shout out to Ghana, though, man. I thought they played well today. Obviously not their best, but I thought that they were more disciplined today. I thought that they realized that they weren't going to get in a lot earlier than I think they should have. And they just kind of like played a little bit more passively, but they played well this whole tournament. I talked about it this morning with Brian and Tobin about Mohamed Kudus and the nice run that he's had this tournament. I'm sure that's going to lead to some sort of move. Probably not this winter, but probably in the summer. Yeah, even though he just got to Ajax, I'm pretty sure. So kudos to him. Kudos to the IU bros and Lamptey and what?
IU bros, stop bringing them up. Don't like them.
There's always a person who just annoys Clayton, and I guess today it's the IU bros.
It's been the IU bros.
What do you mean it's been the IU bros? It's like two episodes ago.
I know, but I still don't like them.
Both of them, or do you want, or do you dislike one more than the other?
I think Andre IU is the one that plays for Palace, or is that Jordan?
That's Jordan.
I don't like Jordan.
No. Okay. Well.
Because I think he beat us. He scored like a game-winning goal against Chelsea, and I just don't like
that. Oh, my gosh. It's fine. I don't know where Andre plays, to be honest with you, so I couldn't tell.
I couldn't care, but he's associate. He has the same last name, so
yeah,
he's guilty by association.
I guess, if that's what you want to suggest.
But no, I thought Ghana played well, though, especially this World Cup.
Just all the African teams, man. Like, the quality that they brought was really impressive. I mean, same for the Asian teams. Talked about that this morning, too. Mm-hmm. Things are getting a little bit more even, I feel like, in the world scheme.
They are, because, I mean, no team won all three games in the World Cup. And usually there's usually, like, Brazil, France. Like, there's usually about two or three, maybe four teams that end up doing that. It didn't happen. Also, are we going to talk about Tunisia, too? Like, I mean, I know we talked about it last time, but, like, beating France...
Yeah, they played really well that whole game.
It's...
Obviously, France didn't care, but still.
But also, that France lineup was... Why are you playing Camavinga at left back?
Yeah, and playing... They were playing somebody at, like, left wing.
Right wing.
Or somebody. I don't remember.
They were playing...
It was weird. Like, Tchouaméni was, like, listed as, like, the attacking midfielder, which is, like, that's not what he does. Which is... I don't know. I thought that was odd.
Yeah, that was weird. But, like I said, I think that... The World Cup is becoming more even, and I like it.
Yeah, me too. They played Guendouzi as the left wing.
It makes me gag every time I see him.
Yeah.
The lineup's trash.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I just want to talk about Tunisia, because shout out to them, man.
Yeah, they played really well. I was impressed with how they were like, and we know that the odds are not in our favor, and we're still going to have a lot of pride. I mean, same with Cameroon today. Kudos to them. That goal that they had was outstanding. Outstanding.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Kudos to them. Okay, moving on. Let's talk the other game in that group, which was the aforementioned South Korea versus Portugal, which was kind of a meh game. And then that goal at the end was fantastic by Heechan. I thought Son played his best today. Finally, it's about time he played good. I mean, I know Portugal also did not run their best lineup either. Like, just some names that they had out there. They had João Mário on the left wing, Horta on the right wing.
João Mário on the right?
They had Antonio Silva playing a center back. They kept their wing backs the same, and they played Ronaldo.
No. So you're saying João Mário played right wing?
Left wing.
That's literally Guendouzi. That's no, I'm serious. For who is João Mário plays for Benfica?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, he doesn't play that. He's a midfielder.
Well, he played that today, according to this formation. Maybe the internet is lying to me, but
yeah, there has to be, because João Mário is like the slowest man in a man. He is old.
Yeah, let me find his age.
He is 30. My guess is he's 34.
Dude, you're not even close. He's 29.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Gross. he's been around forever.
He's in his prime.
That's weird.
Or I guess the end of it.
Yeah.
In terms of footy terms.
Where was João Mário was somewhere before Benfica.
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Me either, but...
It was a bigger club, though, yeah?
It was a way bigger club. I think he played... No, he didn't play for PSG. I think he played in the League One. But João Mário is like one... I guess he's just one of those players that's just like... You know, you see... It's like Axel Witsel.
West Ham, Inter.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. So that's just weird.
West Ham on loan. Sorry.
I mean, still enters a bigger club than Benfica, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's just weird. But, I mean, I'm gonna disagree with you on the Sun part.
What do you mean?
Because obviously he's not scoring goals, which is like kind of like the big thing for South Korea.
Right.
But at the same time, like, a player like that opens up so many other chances.
No,
for
that's
other
what
people.
I'm saying. I'm saying he played his best game today.
I meant like in the other games past. I don't think he necessarily played terrible.
He did not play well in the second game. He played fine in the first game, but I thought he was not as effective as he could have been.
I guess
it was the Ghana game. Something
yeah,
like that.
But yeah.
And he got frustrated a little bit. So today it was like a breath of fresh air to see him, like, you know.
And advance. That's the thing too. I'm happy for him.
Do you think they're a little bit underrated? Like, slightly?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Hee Chan is a quality player. He really is.
Yeah.
And especially if you're a Wolves fan, that's a very, very promising sign for sure.
Yeah. Because I know it's been kind of an up-and-down spell for him there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had nice play today. I thought, despite their 38% possession, they had good shots, good quality shots. They didn't foul as much as Portugal. I mean, by one, but still. They had a lot of corner kicks, despite the little possession. Their counter is really interesting, man. I'm curious to see how that translates. I mean, we're going to talk about all the round of 16 games here in a sec, but I'm really curious to see how that translates to a game against Brazil, especially with how Brazil played today. I know Brazil did not have their best lineup either, but also it's kind of the same thing as France where, like, you got to at least, like, have some passion, like the guys that are out there, because you're wanting to compete for the starting spot, right? And I thought some of the Brazil guys today, I guess we could transition to the Brazil game now. I thought some of them were not at their best by any means, specifically Fabinho. And I can say that because he has not played good at all this year. Dani Alves started today. I did not expect that to happen, but here we are. The Mexican League well-represented outside of the Mexican national team. Shout out to Pumas, I guess.
I guess.
Gosh. Yeah, I thought their attackers were fine. The Cameroon goalkeeper, gosh, I can't remember his name. I thought he was outstanding, though. Like, he had, like, 8 or 9 saves. I think he won Man of the Match from FIFA. So it's not like Brazil was lacking for chances, because they had 21 shots and 7 of them on goal.
And they had a pretty good lineup out there. And you were, and I'll give you kudos. You were right, because Rodrigo ended up playing in that central position.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought,
I thought he was fine.
I know, but I'm just saying, I thought it was going to be Paqueta, but
yeah. For Epicy to play as good as he did today, in spite of what happened with Andre Onana earlier this week, is, like, you can't, like, compliment him enough, you know what I mean?
It's like having Kelleher on the bench.
Yeah.
I hate Kelleher.
Well, I mean, nobody knew about Epicy, though. Like, yeah. He doesn't play. I don't think he plays in Europe. He plays for OFI Crete. Where is that? Is that...
Rest of the World League.
Yeah, like, genuinely, what league is that? I'm going to find out. The Greek Super... Okay, he plays in Greece.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, like, there are worse places to be. There are worse places to be, like, I don't know, like, the Mexican Second Division or something like that.
Yeah, true. So. Or the MLS Second Division.
Yeah, whatever it's called. USL.
Yeah, they're in the USL.
Or MLS 2, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
I thought Mbeumo was awesome today. Ibosi was great. Choupo-Moting did his thing again, like we thought. But Abubakar, however you pronounce it,
Abubakar.
It was awesome. The way that he, you know, was not afraid to, like, get after it.
And he was also not afraid to take his shirt off after a yellow
card.
Yeah,
clearly. I thought Nohu, I think he plays for, he plays a left back for them. And I think he plays for Seattle Sounders. He defended really well today, especially against Antony and all his little, like, flicks and tricks that he likes to do. But yeah, Abubakar's goal, which if you haven't seen, listener, there it is again, Clayton doing the Antony dance.
Yep.
So Abubakar scores this great goal off a great header in, like, the 91st minute, and they go up 1-0. And bro takes his shirt off, which is fine, but if you don't know anything about footy, when you take your shirt off in a pro game, you get automatically yellow carded, which is a stupid rule. Like, let the player celebrate. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But the problem with him doing that was that he was already on a yellow for an actual foul, and so he got sent off. And it was funny because he, like, dapped up the ref. We were just talking about this before we hit record. He literally dapped up the ref, and they were, like, joking, smiling about it. And then the ref was like, okay, yellow, red, bye. Like, just sent him off. It's the funniest thing. So kudos to him. I loved watching them, man. I thought they were really, really awesome today. I went to shout out my friend Deborah. One of my bosses, actually, at church, she invited me over to her place today to watch it. She's Brazilian. So they're super invested over there. And it was fun to watch that with them and eat real Brazilian food.
Ooh.
Yeah. Have you ever had Brazilian food?
I want to try it, but I've never had it.
If you had any, like, indication of what it was, would you think that it's spicy? Would you think the Brazilian food is spicy?
I wouldn't say it's super spicy, but there's a little kick.
They don't use any spice at all in most of their food, which is super interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you
know,
right?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was good. It was a good Brazilian barbecue today, so shout out to them. Speaking of Brazil, the lineup changes they had today, want to continue on that. Rodrigo played fine. I thought Martinelli played really well. He had a couple of headers that were saved, and then he missed. Alex Telles was good. Militao was good for the most part. I thought Fred was not great today, admittedly.
Shocker.
I mean, he's not with Casemiro, so that's fine. If you line him up with Casemiro, he's, like, cracked.
It's literally like Vieira, Roy Keane.
Yeah.
is deadly, but I'm interested to see what kind of changes they make, like, with their lineup full strength.
Yeah.
Because, like, I saw, like, with their full strength lineup, it's just not the normal Brazil. Like, they're very good no matter who they play on the pitch. But it's just, like, for me, watching Brazil now, they're just different.
Yeah.
It's just different than years past.
Yeah.
And so, like, they have the quality players. It's just, I don't know. It's just pretty interesting. I don't know why they're not starting Marquinhos.
Well, they started him in the normal games. No. They didn't start him today. They gave him the rest.
Well, they subbed him off for... What's his face tell us today? But
I don't know.
I want to see Bremer play at the, like, a left back position.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to go back to that Silva and the Marquinhos center back pairing.
Because
I think that goes a long way.
And Militao off the bench because he's a lot quicker.
That's true. Militao is awesome, though. I like him a lot.
No, I do too.
Even though he plays for Madrid.
And he should have came to Chelsea. We offered him and he didn't accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The other group that played today was group... Or we already talked about the other group. I'm sorry. The other game in that group was the more exciting one, Serbia-Switzerland. Holy moly. Okay. Let me get through some of these stats and notes from this game. Blahovic played today. He scored a goal. Mitrovic also scored. Shaqiri had a nice little goal to start the proceedings. And
Shaqiri!
Braylon Mbolo had a great game today. His goal in the 44th was really, really key. And then they got the goal, the third goal, like right after the start of the second half from Remo Frailer. I'm bummed about Serbia. I am. But it's also like, it's fine. Like, Switzerland's good, you know? Like, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're one of those scenes where, like, they show up for World Cups, you know? Somebody was talking to me about it today, and they kind of described it as, like, you can kind of bank on them, like, getting out of the group stage, like how Mexico usually is, keyword usually, because that did not happen this year. It's fine. But I thought it was a fun game. I didn't watch all of it because I was, you know, in a Brazilian household. But there was a lot of edginess to it as well. A lot of fouls, 18 for Serbia, 14 for Switzerland, 7 yellow cards for Serbia, 4 for Switzerland. Just a wild, wild, like, testy encounter, which is how it should be for those two teams who were fighting to get out of the group. And after kind of having some meh games to start the group, especially from a Serbia perspective, not they should have played a little bit better and finished some more chances, especially against Cameroon. Looking at you, Mitrovic. But I thought he played decent again today. I thought Switzerland's lineup was very nice. Having Shaqiri back was big time. Granit Xhaka was, again, incredible. I think he won man of the match.
He always shows up in World Cups.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Big time. Big time game.
But actually, it's actually crazy. I don't know if you knew this, but Xhaka is actually not Swiss. Well, he has citizenship.
Yeah, but he's like
Albanian.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
And a lot of those players are.
Yeah. I mean, that's the new age of like switching allegiances or like getting to like pick. Mm-hmm. Like if I was a footy player, like I could like either classify for the Mexican national team or the US team if I wanted to. In my dreams, you know what I mean?
I know. I only have one.
Yeah.
But also, weird stat. I'm going to give you a weird stat for Serbia.
Okay, hit me up.
So, there's two Milinkovic Savages.
There are.
And there's only one player on their lineup where their last name ends in itch. Isn't that crazy?
That doesn't end in itch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's Nemanja Gudelj.
Gosh. That is incredible. I loved what they did today with the Mitrovic, Vlahovic, Tadic starting. Like
finally.
Yeah. I think Vlahovic might have been hurt in the first couple of games. Let me look through and see if he was even on the bench, because I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, what was the deal, because I thought he was going to play some.
And Ilicic is so good, and I don't know why they – I don't know. It's just something.
No, he was active on the Cameroon game. And was he active in the Brazil game? Let me see.
That's not Ilicic. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. No, he... Dude, I forgot Luka Jovic was on that team, to be honest with you. Yeah, Vlahovic came on later.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, Jovic should be playing. I don't know why they...
That should have been the front three.
Yeah.
Why did it take three games for them to realize
that?
Well,
they should play Jovic and Vlahovic up top. You know how...
You mean Tadic and Vlahovic?
No, I mean Jovic.
Oh, you really mean Luka Jovic should play?
I don't know why he doesn't. He was so class, and then he went to Real Madrid, and he just sucked.
That's the thing. He hasn't been since he made the move. I mean, he's okay. Like,
he's class in my... I still think he's class.
Where does he play? Is he still in Madrid? There's no way he's not. He, like, switched. He's at Fiorentina.
Oh.
He has three goals this year, which is fine. But he hasn't... he started 9 games.
That's just me dreaming about being a manager for Serbia.
Because, dude, just run a front four. Vlahovic,
they
Jovic.
Could run a 4-2-4.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, imagine you have two strikers and two wingers.
Vlahovic, Tadic, Mitrovic, and Jovic. That's kind of nuts.
That would be nuts.
Disappointing for them, though. I really thought they had a chance with all this attacking talent that we've been spending so much time on. But it is what it is. So that is the end of the group stage. We're at the halfway point. Not the official halfway point, because we've played over 32 games at this point. But we are here now in knockout stage time. The final is 2 weeks from Sunday, which is very, very exciting. It's going to go by really fast, just like this group stage has.
Oh, yeah.
Let's first talk. I want to give Clayton the space to discuss the U.S. game. Kind of let him just go for a little bit, and then we'll make predictions on that game and then start to predict all the other games, at least for this round, maybe for the whole knockout round, but we'll see.
So, looking at the Netherlands lineup, like, obviously there's big name players. You have Van Dijk, you have De Jong, you have Gakpo.
Van Dijk.
You have Memphis Depay. You have a lot of big name players. And I just, like, looking at the Iran game, there's seriously a lot of potential defensively, and like we kind of talked to me and you touched on last episode, like there's two really good defenses, and I feel like the game, this sounds so dumb and I keep saying it, but like the midfield is what, whoever has the better midfield is going to influence the game.
Sure.
Because obviously your strikers and wingers are going to put in the goals, but I think everything in between is going to be a crucial... I think it's going to be a big possession game. But honestly, I could see Netherlands owning a lot of that possession and then USA playing like a South Korea where they play off the counterattack, because we have a very quick team and we are able to do that. And so, especially... And I don't want to be one of those people, but like the Netherlands does have a big flu outbreak in their squad.
Yikes.
And it does factor into, because you have some, from what is rumored to be around, you know, their team, it's Frankie de Jong and some of the, you know, normal starting players. And so it really does put into perspective that I think that the USA actually has a decent chance of winning. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be a super high-scoring game because these defenses are very solid. But I think... Do we go into predictions now?
I mean, you can if you want. I've already sent my piece about this game.
Yeah.
But well, I actually haven't predicted it, but I've said how I think it could go. That's really or what could the U.S. do to win?
Yeah, that's all I really have to say about it. Is like it's going to be a... I would say key factors for the game is the midfield. And like Musa and McKinney holding the and Adams collectively stopping Gakpo before he even gets into attacking positions. Because I feel like if they keep the pressure on us, we're going to be vulnerable in the back. But I feel like we can contain them in the midfield pretty well.
Okay.
So my prediction, it's going to be an odd one. It really is. I think we're going to see, well... Obviously, but I think this game goes to penalties.
I'm not surprised that you said that because I think it could go to extra time pretty easily. I think it's going to be a chess match for a lot of the games, especially the first half. Like, it's probably going to be a really boring first half. I say that, and then it's going to be like 5 goals, which that'd be great.
But. Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I'm going to have probably a heart attack or you lose years off my life, but. Realistically, I can see either team winning in penalties. Okay. But if it doesn't go to penalties, I can see the U.S. winning in extra time.
Okay.
Because I don't know how they're going to hold up. And like it's going to factor into the play if some of these players play with the flu.
Yeah. Like they're not going to be moving as much.
Yeah, they're fit. Their fitness. So I don't think that... I think that the Netherlands are going to be surprised at when we get to extra time, especially if we bring in Aaronson late, which is kind of what I want to happen, is kind of save him. I don't want him coming in the 60th minute. I really don't. I want him coming in 75th, 80th minute when we know that, you know, the Netherlands are kind of on the back foot and we have him pressing and having him in open space later on in the game.
Keep him fresh for extra time.
Keep him fresh for extra time. Yeah. Absolutely. So... With that being said, I think that if the Netherlands win, this is going to be weird because I have two sides of the story. But I ultimately think the U.S. will win. But if the Netherlands do win, it'll be on penalties.
Okay. I guess I should make my prediction now that I've talked about it for so much the last couple days. I think earlier in the day, I would have said the Netherlands wins 2-1. But I think now with this flu outbreak... I really think the door's open for the U.S., and I also agree that it's going to take extra time. I'm going to say 1-0 because I really don't think there's going to be much scoring at all.
And hopefully Pulisic has a chance to celebrate when he scores his goal.
Yes,
I want to see a gritty tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to see a gritty.
Yeah. Just in the same way that Griezmann did the L dance from Fortnite.
Yes,
in the final.
I want to see a gritty. I'm more of a fan of his chomp.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine.
I like the chomp one.
That's fair.
I like the L dance, but after a while, I was like, okay, this is
yeah, it's kind of corny. Let me ask you the questions that I asked Brian and Tobin today earlier when we recorded about the lineup. Who starts at center back next to Tim Ream? Or who should, in your opinion?
Carter Vickers.
Okay, I agree with that 100%.
And bring in Walker later.
Okay. And what's the front three going to look like? We don't know about Sargent still.
Okay. I'm just going to go with honesty, and I don't want this to happen, but I feel like it's going to happen. It's going to be Weah... Haji Wright, Pulisic. Mm. I know.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yep. Classic Greg. I feel like it should be. I said it a lot
but
of times
actually,
already.
You know what? I don't mind that. Haji starts out. He gets taken off in the 60th minute.
If he, like, tries, sure.
If he tries, sure. But, yeah, that's what I believe is going
to
happen.
I want Weah to start up top and bring Reyna in on the right wing. I think that'd be great.
They're not going to. And that's like I told you, I need Reyna in the game. Like, I don't know. I'm just Greg. I love Greg, but also it's like from like a USMNT standpoint, Reyna needs to be playing.
Sure.
Sure, we have a lot of talent on the bench, but Reyna's one of those. I just don't get it because also Dortmund's like one of those clubs where it's like, hey, we want players playing in the World Cup. And I feel like I hope they have an influence as to what goes on because it's like he's coming off of an injury. He's fit now. This is the time that he needs to play. So that's just how I think it's going to go. But Reyna needs to be in at some point of the game. If we lose because Reyna's not in, which I don't think Reyna's going to completely revolutionize the whole game and flip it upside down.
But his quality's too good to ignore.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're both going for the U.S. win. Did not expect that earlier in the week. The other game tomorrow is Argentina versus Australia. We're on that side of the bracket, so there's two sides of it. We're going to stay on that side for now. The winner of the Netherlands-U.S. game would face the winner of this Argentina-Australia game.
I want to say Australia so bad.
I know you do. I know you do.
Argentina 2-0.
Yeah. I don't think there's much debate. I love what Australia's done. I think they've played fantastic. However, Argentina got a wake-up call after losing to Saudi Arabia, and they're like in flying form right now. I mean, they dominated the Poland game. Dominated them.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Australia scoring. I'm going to say 3-1. Messi gets a goal. I'm gonna say Lisandro gets some random, like, you know,
off a corner.
Yeah, off a corner. Like, it just kind of bounces right in front of him, just for fun. And
that's the most troll goal prediction I've ever heard from you.
And Julian Alvarez scores again.
Yeah, I can see that.
I wonder if he starts. I mean, he played really well the other day.
He should. I think he should
start him on the left wing like you did against Poland, and have Di Maria on the right. Yeah, I don't have much analysis on that game. I think that's pretty cut and dry. Okay, staying on that side of the bracket, the next game below that is Spain versus Croatia, which is Monday morning at 9 a.m. I feel like this is not going to be a fun game to watch.
Not at all.
I think Spain wins, but I don't have the same confidence as I did with them earlier in the week, especially with how they were lackluster after Japan, you know, got the goals yesterday or a couple days ago, whenever that was.
I'm going Croatia.
Oh, okay.
I'm going Croatia 2-1.
Yeah, both teams are going to score, right? But it's not going to be high scoring.
Yeah, it's not going to be. And like I said, Spain looked unstoppable against Costa Rica. Granted, it's Costa Rica. But you can't let Japan, like, I don't know. I've lost hope in them after the Japan game. And yeah. I know it's just one game, but even after that, they held possession. They could not get the ball in the box to save their life. I don't know. I'm sticking with Croatia, especially after a commanding 4-1 win against Canada. They're going to have a lot of momentum going into that game, and I think Croatia is going to pull it out.
Do you think the key to that game is the experience of the midfield for Croatia versus the somewhat inexperience of the midfield for Spain?
A little bit, but Croatia doesn't really play like a press. So I can see Spain being
more methodical. Yeah,
being more methodical. So it's like, it's just going to depend on the defense. And I think that, and see, that's the opposite for Croatia. They have a very inexperienced offense with Yardival. Lovren, obviously, but he's old.
Yeah, ancient.
And, like, other than that, you have, I'm going to butcher this, Vlasico?
I don't know who. The guy who's, like, being targeted by Chelsea, that you're talking about, or the other guy?
No, their right back. He played for Atletico.
Yeah.
Blardico or something? Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, Vlasico, I think it is.
Okay.
I probably butcher it all the time. But
sorry, Croatian people.
Yeah, so, but you have a very experienced Spain defense.
Yeah, with Rodri playing center back with Laporte, which is super interesting.
Yeah, and then you have Jordi Alba, Carvajal, who've, you know, obviously played in some very, very big time matches on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
So, it's just going to depend on the defense, honestly.
Yeah.
And obviously putting goals in the back of the net.
Sure. I think Danny Olmo needs to be key for Spain if they want a chance. You know what I'm going to say for my prediction? I think this goes to penalties and Spain wins.
Okay.
Which is the classic Croatia result, because Croatia literally played like 3 straight games of penalties last year in the knockout round. Or 2. They didn't play penalties against England. But the first few games they did, and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't want that for them, though. Like, I want them to win outright.
Yeah. I just feel like Croatia's so organized and so, like, well put together, like, when they move, that it's, like, it's going to be hard for Spain to crack through. It's not like they have, like, a lethal attack anyway. I mean, Morata's been awesome. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely.
It's not like it's been that great. I feel like some of the attacking subs that Luis Enrique has made has been kind of interesting.
Ansu Fati doesn't look as good
as I
thought he
would.
Was
disappointed with how he played yesterday.
I was. Like, he held up possession very well when they got it on the wing. But like I said earlier, they just couldn't get it in the box.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
They did really well holding up possession, getting it to the wings to put in crosses. But either A, no one was there ready for a ball, or 2, you know, they're just well defended.
Yeah. Brazil-South Korea is the last game on that side of the bracket. So the winner of Spain-Croatia plays the winner of Brazil-South Korea.
I think it's just similar to the Argentina-Australia game. There's not really much analysis, in my opinion. Okay. But I'm going to sound like Desmond Howard for a second, but it's like we talk about how South Korea is underrated, but it's Brazil. So I think that Brazil kind of win single-handedly.
You think Neymar's back?
I think he is.
Okay.
I say 3-1.
I'm going to say 3-2. I think there'll be a couple of counterattacks for South Korea to capitalize on. But true. Yeah, I mean, Brazil will have their full lineup again. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, speaking of the Brazil game earlier today, they should have won just based off the fact of how good our boy Bruno G played in the box, but he just couldn't finish anything to save his life. Like Stu Holden said on the broadcast, that he could have had a hat trick, and I 100% agree with that. He was everywhere, but just couldn't get anything done. Much like Lukaku, but Lukaku is a, you know,
La caca.
They're back at home, or they might be back at home. Who knows? They may be still flying out. The other side of the bracket is England versus Senegal at, I think,
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday at 12, 1, something like that.
12 Eastern, it says.
So probably when 12. Coverage starts.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think? I think this is going to be an interesting one to discuss.
I don't know. Like, I was looking at this earlier. It's a very, very intriguing matchup.
This
really
might be
is.
My favorite matchup.
It's my
of the
favorite,
round of 16.
But it's the one that we can't predict. Because it's like Senegal has a very good defense. England has looked very, besides the 6-2 window against Iran. And, I mean, they played Wales. But, like, against us, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Our defense is not as good as Senegal. USA. 1-0 Senegal.
Wow. Wow. Who's the goal from, though? Is it from Sar or Dia?
Sar.
Okay.
Or a Koulibaly goal. I'd be very happy.
Part 2.
Yes, I'd be very happy.
Watch
with
Mendy just boot it like 120 yards down the field and he catches
it. Yeah, I guess the gale force wins.
Yes. Oh, dude, I so think this is going to penalties. 1,000%. Senegal has improved so much since their first game. And England is too unpredictable. Although I will say, if Foden starts, I think England has a much better chance. And I think he should, because clearly he was one of the best players on the field against Wales the other day. Should have came on against the U.S., but it's fine. I'm going to say by the skin of their teeth, England wins like 6-5 on penalties.
Wow, that's very specific.
Yeah.
Okay, who, well,
I don't want to get too specific.
Yeah,
who takes the penalties?
Who misses the penalty?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't know Senegal's roster like that.
Yeah, which person's going to have their penalties?
I also think Senegal could frustrate them and they could win like 2-1. And the one goal comes like late from like, I don't know, Harry Kane or whatever.
Harry Kane.
I don't think this is a great matchup for England. I think it's going to be really, really exciting, this game. I also could see a decent amount of goals. I don't know.
It's like I said, it's so unpredictable, but I'm standing by my cynical 1-0 win.
Okay. England, 6-5 on penalties for me. The winner of that game plays the winner of France versus Poland in the next round. I mean, this is really easy for me. I think France is going to steamroll.
Yeah, I was going 4-0.
Yeah, like Poland is bad. Like, they are probably the worst team in the group stage or in the knockout stage. I genuinely think they are.
Wow, that is. That's an
interesting. I like Australia more.
I wouldn't even call Australia the worst one. Like, honestly, like this.
Like, Poland sucks outside of Szczesny.
I would say on paper, the Japan squad is not great.
Sure. But they at least, like, play well when they need to.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Current form is different. I'm just saying on paper, they are the worst team. Form wise, they're not. And I think you're right in the sense that, like, Poland is the worst team. But they're honestly, like, I would say there's maybe two teams that are on paper.
Right
not,
there with them.
Not as good as them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's, like, a steamroll. I think Griezmann gets on the score sheet and gets out of his little curse. Mbappe dominates.
Actually, I'm going to take back my take of England-Senegal being the most interesting game. Because I think the next one is the best.
Morocco-Japan? Really? I mean, I like half agree with you. Like, I think that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game.
I've got my
sure.
money on Morocco. I think they win.
2-0. 2-1.
2-1. Yeah, I'm down with 2-1. They're in such great form right now, and they have all the confidence in the world. This is not the most appealing of the knockout matches so far, but I think this could have a lot of excitement and a lot of drama. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are two spirited teams that are going to have, like, the push of their people, and they're both underdogs in their regard. So, like, the fact that one of these two is going to make the quarterfinal is really, really awesome. And so which team, which nation is going to be more up for it is the real question. I do think Morocco's quality is a little bit better, especially right now. They're peaking at such a good time. So I think they win 2-1, like we said. I don't know what else to say about that. I think it's just going to be really fun. Really, really do.
So is the off topic, is the Qatar bracket challenge, it's off.
Is it?
It says that Japan's playing Croatia, and it says Morocco's playing Spain.
What? That's weird.
And then Poland's playing, well, Poland and, or Portugal and Switzerland are playing, but yeah, it says that Morocco's playing Spain, and that.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought that was off topic.
No, you're fine. Okay, the winner of that game, Morocco-Japan, plays the winner of Portugal and Switzerland. You start. What happens?
This is... Wow. I think it's Switzerland.
Dude, same! Again, I'm not high on this Portugal team at all. But I think they're going to frustrate them in the midfield.
Yes, very much so. And, like, even against Serbia, like, obviously, like, they... Like, Switzerland showed that they can score goals when they need to, especially throughout the group. And I think that this game, especially with Portugal going out the way they did, I think it's kind of a similar attitude I have towards Spain. And I think that's still win 2-1.
Okay. I'm going to say this is a game that frustrates Portugal. And I think that it is a 1-0 or a 2-0 game for Switzerland. But I will say that that second goal from Switzerland would come, like, really, really late. Like, when Portugal sends all their numbers up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really just saying that just because I'm pretty anti-Portugal. But I also think the Switzerland team does have a really nice chance, especially with how they responded today and how they had, like we talked about earlier, like a really testy game with a lot of drama, a lot of gamesmanship, things like that. And the way that they were able to pull out of that, I thought was really impressive. And so I hope that they do. And then that would make a really interesting, like, let's say Morocco and Switzerland move on. Then one of those teams makes the semifinal,
mm-hmm.
which that's wild if you really, really think about it. Like, one of those teams being one of the final four would be super, like, monumental for both of those countries. But I think especially Morocco. Morocco makes the semifinal, and I think there is a pathway. Wow. Can you imagine how big that is for that country and for the state of football there?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, they have a... They're very comparatively like South Korea. They have Ziyech, who's very solid. And then they have other pieces around them that are very competent, that are very like well functioning. And I think that Morocco can, I see what you're saying. Like there's an easy pathway for them to make the Final Four. And I think that it'll open up the world to just seeing how even this World Cup is. And like how, I think this is probably the most competitive World Cup. I mean, I haven't been alive for many World Cups, but I think that going forward, it gives these smaller countries a huge influence. And not even just Morocco, just any of the other countries, you know, building teams. And it allows them to show like, hey, these teams Morocco made it to the semifinal. Just let's just say it happens. And it opens the pathway to a lot of these other countries. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's any more teams like that just come in and sneak their way in.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I hope it happens. I really do. Okay, let's not do hypothetical. If this is the quarterfinal, let's not do that. Let's just do round by round like we always do with
I'm
other stuff.
Perfectly fine with that.
Speaking of the 2026 World Cup, kind of off topic, but kind of not. So you know how we've been talking about how they're planning to do groups of three? Well, there is a big article that came out from one of the big England papers that FIFA's wanting to ditch that and go do groups of four. So that would increase the number of games from 64 to, I believe, 104 games.
Of the World Cup?
Yeah, in 26 when we host. With the expanded qualification.
So what is there? There's six groups, right?
Yeah. Wow. Or there would be 12 groups of four. Sorry, not 16 groups of four. That's a lot of teams. 12 groups of four because it's 48 teams instead of 32 like this one.
Hopefully the games are cheaper so I can go to more games.
Yeah, for real, right?
So
you got to use the venues.
Oh, you got to use
the
venues.
I don't like the, like... Especially with, like, Qatar, like, they have, like, eight venues and, like, a couple of them maybe get, like, three games throughout the whole month. It's like, that's kind of lame. Like, use the stadiums. You know what I mean? You literally spent millions, billions of whatever your currency is on it. Like, figure it out.
But I kind of like it, honestly.
But then they tear it down after that. It's lame.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant, like, the expanded World Cup.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It would be super, super, super exciting. For everybody, it would just mean more nations, more quality. I think the state of the game would be a lot better because, like, if more teams are able to, like, qualify, that means more teams are able to be like, okay, we have a chance, like, let's go for it. And that just makes everything
much more balanced. It allows even smaller countries to get into, like your Indias, like your Russias, or Iceland again. Like, I think it would be interesting to see.
Or Panama, or Jamaica, like if CONCACAF got a couple more spots, for example, you know, could go a long way.
Colombia coming back.
Yeah. Well, too bad they won't have James.
No, I don't want James.
They might have the corpse of Yerry Mina still there for that World Cup, though. So,
You triggered me with those names that I hate.
You don't like Yerry Mina? I don't either, but...
I was about to say, how do you like him?
I don't know.
He plays for Everton.
Yeah, I know. And he's also kind of a scrub.
Yes, and he's like the Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, that's a decent comp. Okay. Well, that's who we think is going to win the next eight games. Mm-hmm. So the games are two Saturday, two Sunday, two Monday, two Tuesday, and then there's a two-day break, and then the quarterfinals are on Friday and Saturday. We move! See you! I guess it's time for a random hit around, huh? We got a big, big breaking news thing to discuss.
Texas Rangers have signed Jacob DeGrom on a 5-year, $185 million deal. And if you're listening listener, or I wish you could see this. I am decked out in my Rangers
gear. Yep, he's got today. A shirt. He's got his blue hat.
I know we're talking about football, soccer, but it's a big occasion because, like I said, we haven't had a pitcher like this since, I mean, Derek Holland.
Cliff Lee.
Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but this is on a way bigger scale than
yeah.
that. I don't think they're done yet, though. I think that Rodon might be coming as well.
Okay. I like it. I think if you have the chance to get somebody that talented, obviously go for it. His injury history is obviously a concern, as we all know. But I think for the Rangers, it's like, well, we don't have much to lose here. Like, we need any sort of quality. So
we need an arm, and that's what we've needed for years. And I know John Gray, Dane Dunning, those are solid 3 to 4 guys. They're not your 1-2 guys. I'm sorry. Dane Dunning, John Gray, if you're listening, I love you, but it's just like that's just what we needed. And I think we also need a couple more hitters, and then we are set. And a bullpen, actually. I think we need a couple more bullpen arms.
Yeah.
But this is big for the Ranger world. Like I said, I think we can make the playoffs if everyone stays healthy, if DeGrom stays healthy. Obviously, we're not going to get past Houston in the standings, but we can compete. And I think we can get second in the division.
Okay.
And sneak our way in a wild card.
In the wild card, yeah. They better not be done because, like, they have money to spend. They're clearly glaring, like, holes on the roster. And CY said that, too. So, it's cool to see us, like, care, because we didn't care for, like, 3 or 4 years. We just wanted to, like, cut all the payroll. So, it's nice to, like, be competitive again. I'm sure that makes Simeon and Seager happy mm-hmm. that they made that decision to, like, be reaffirmed. They're like, hey, this team's committed. You know what I mean? So, Rodon would be nice. Do you think Jack Leiter plays this year? You think he gets called up at some point? Or do you think that is one more year away from happening?
One more year away.
Now, what about...
Or if they do it, it'll probably be like an August, July, August.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about Kumar, though?
No.
No. I think he'd be a nice bullpen arm.
He would, but... Yeah, I could see them rehabbing him in a bullpen long reliever situation, but...
Sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical on that.
Yeah.
But next hit around.
Actually, before you do that, I want you to say your thoughts on what I'm about to show you. This is Tigres' new coach, Diego Coca. Do you think he looks like me?
In the face, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
In the face, I can see it.
One of my family members the other day was like, he looks like your dad. I was like, oh, so that means he looks like me, kind of.
I've actually never seen your dad, really? Except for... Well, I saw him in Abilene, but that was it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the one time. Yeah. Yeah, he does look like my dad in his current state of being, in his however 60-something-year-old state of being he is. But anyway, what are we going to say for the next hit around?
Oh, never mind. Well, it's still valid, but... Utah was winning 27-17 when I pulled it up, and USC just scored a touchdown. So shout out Utah for winning right now.
Yeah. The chaos that would bring for this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shout out Robo, Jason Robertson, for being just unbelievable. I went to the game last night with our great friend, Garrett Kirkconnell. Haven't seen him in forever. I know you don't.
Fantasy enemy.
Yeah. But I got to see him. It was great to see G-Man, and we went to the game, and it was a great time. Stars destroyed Anaheim, which is fine. Like, Anaheim's not good at all. But Robo had a hat trick, and it was awesome. I'm glad we got him down, tied down for a while. And same with Rupe. With Rupe's extension this week, 8 years, like $8 million a year.
8.25 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a nice it's a nice 2 of your 3 frontline forwards to have. So shout out to Stars ownership.
I saw a funny tweet about the Robertson thing. It said a Filipino kid from California leading the NHL in goals. That's rad.
Yeah. That's
so rad. I think it is pretty cool. And like I said about Morocco making, or we kind of mentioned Morocco making the quarter or semifinals. It's like, obviously like other non-hockey states producing talent.
Yeah.
could be, you know, it could be a possibility going forward. Yeah, it could be like, hey, know. Robertson did it.
Could open up the pathway for more kids. You know
absolutely.
What did you have next?
Random hit around. Hugh Freeze, new coach of Auburn.
Gross.
I know.
Gross.
I
horrible. I do not like him at all.
I'm the same way, man. LeBron passing Magic for sixth all time.
Oh yeah, that did happen tonight. We were just watching the game. Did they end up winning?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, cool. Oh yeah.
We watched.
I forgot. I can remember. It's been an hour, and I already forgot whether or not we left before that game ended, or came in here before the game ended. But anyway.
Yeah.
UTSA won Conference USA Championship tonight. Kudos to them. They beat North Texas, which I didn't know that UNT was even in a round.
They were pretty decent. Like I said, I'm just excited for what's going to happen this weekend, even though I'm not going to be able to watch the game because I'm working. But at the same time, it'll be awesome to
see. Big college football weekend. We can't ignore that. We cannot ignore that.
Big college football weekend. So.
Go. I'm pro chaos most of the time, but this year I'm pro keep everybody the same. Like, keep the top four the same. So, USC, please win, like, right now. Like, that'd be great.
I don't – sounds so terrible, but, like, Pac-12 games I'm not a big fan of. I don't like staying up for their games. If it was the Big 12 playing that late, I'd watch it 100%.
Oh, it looks like Deion Sanders is about to take the Colorado job, even though he was very clearly not – going to earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Oh, talk about the Wong trade, because we were talking about that before we came on the air.
The Wong trade?
The Wong trade. The Mariners.
Wong trade, yes. So, as you may know, Colton Wong is the second baseman, former second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. Had some very good years there. Then he went to Milwaukee. And now he's, now he's going to Seattle. Which Seattle does need a second baseman. I totally understand that. But when you give up Winker in the process, who has a lot of raw talent, he might have just not fit the team. Because they have Kelenic, they have Kyle Lewis, and Kyle Lewis can't stay healthy. But it's just like, I don't know. Like, I don't understand the trade.
Yeah.
Because the Brewers, I think, won the trade for their needs. Obviously, having another lefty in the lineup for them with Yelich, I mean, they have a pretty lefty dominant lineup, and there's a lot of player. There's a lot of the good pitchers in the NL are right-handed.
Yeah.
So I think they have a very good lineup now with the addition of Winker, because obviously Yelich has his streaky years. You know, obviously he's been solid, but as of now, not very solid. So. Yeah. And he's also getting old. So it's just kind of like, I think it's a good trade for the Brewers. And I would not be surprised also if the Brewers trade one of their aces.
Ooh, okay.
I think it will happen. I would give up, honestly, I would give up Brandon Woodruff in a heartbeat. Brandon Woodruff's good.
Yeah.
But he's not Corbin Burns good.
Yeah.
Corbin Burns is that guy. He is Himothy.
Yeah. Himotheus.
Yes, he is Himotheus. So don't be surprised about that.
Okay. Are you pro 12-team college playoff?
Yes.
Now that that's official?
Yes.
Why?
It's just, it gets the argument out of the way of who gets snubbed a four, because there's always teams that go undefeated that are a five or a six that don't get in. And people complain about it, and I think it'll shut all those people up.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I would like to see a 12, you know, a 12 seed go in, and what if they beat number one? Like, for instance, what's Tennessee ranked?
Like 9 or 10?
I want to see them, like I said, former number one, playing a 2 seed, it gives them an opportunity. Hey. We can bounce back. Hey, it shows that, like, because some of these teams that lose later in the year, like, they go in their bowl game and then they just wipe the table.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think it just gets an interesting perspective, because I hate it. I hate it so much when teams are like, oh, I'm undefeated. I'm UCF, and I went undefeated against the WAC. Woo-hoo. Like, cool. Now go play the 12-seed SEC team. You know?
Yeah.
It'll shut some people up.
Sure. I'm pro 8. I think 8 is like the perfect number. I think 12 is just a teeny bit too much. I like the idea of having Power 5 conference champions, Group of 5 best team, and 2 at large. I like that a lot.
I see your point, but 8 is even like the point where it's like, oh, we made top 10.
Yeah.
Like 12, it's like, oh, I'm a 13 seed. Like, okay, cool.
Sure. Okay.
But like the only downside I have to expanding it at all is the draft.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of players that are going to opt out.
Yeah.
Potentially, which is so stupid.
Or maybe they did that so that they'd make players not opt out.
Yeah. Well, actually, that too. But it's just, I hate it when they sit out of bowl games. It irritates me so much. It's your last game with the college. I get it. You don't want to get hurt, but you shouldn't have that fear.
Yeah.
Because, hey, what if you go play in the Rose Bowl and you rush for 200 yards? Your draft stock, you might goes be a lottery up, yeah. pick, but you could be a top 10 pick.
Well, and you're in college or forever. Like, getting 200 yards in a Rose Bowl game is really awesome because not everybody plays the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is a very special game.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just like, I can maybe get an opt-out if you're playing in the Toilet Bowl or something.
Sure.
Which the Toilet Bowl is not a real thing, but that's just kind of the analogy I make for some of the lower level bowl games.
Yeah.
Which I don't take anything away from the bowl games because it takes a certain team to make a bowl game. But like I said, those are least importance. But
sure.
Like I said, if you're playing in a Rose Bowl and you opt out of your game to go to, I mean, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably rambled on way too much about the 12th thing, but like that's something that I, you know, I kind of am passionate about because it's like you go to school, you play for your team. That'd be like LeBron being like, oh, we're not going to win this year, but I'm just going to sit out the last 20 games of the year because we got eliminated. It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just kind of soft in my opinion.
Sure. What else do you have?
That's about it.
Do you have Spotify?
I do.
You wanna share your Wrapped?
It's kind of embarrassing, honestly.
Why? What do you mean, bro?
My Wrapped. So I'm gonna turn down the volume. I'm gonna pull up my Wrapped. What do you wanna know?
Like
how many minutes I listened to?
No. I just wanna know your top 5 artists and your top 5 songs.
Okay, well, I'll give you my minutes just because I have it up. I listened 60,000 minutes.
That's a lot of minutes.
I was top 94%. I'm pulling up my artists right now. Okay, show me my playlist. I listened to 829 artists. Oh, here we go. It's loading because you know how they...
Yeah, the infamous loading bit.
So my top 5. Number 5, I have Drake.
Okay.
Number 4, I have Gunna.
Okay.
Free Gunna. Number 3, I have Future.
Okay.
Number 2, I have Uzi.
Mm-hmm. I know he's one of your favorites. Who's your 1?
Surprising. It's Yeet.
What? That is really... That's odd.
I know. I listened to his new projects and stuff, but I didn't listen to him near as much as I thought I did.
Huh.
Because Yeet, as I looked the other day, he has 7.4 million... monthly listeners.
Yeah.
I am in the top 0.05%.
Sheesh.
I know. It's crazy. Oh, songs. Where's my songs? Where's my top 5 songs?
Should be in the last slide.
The last slide?
Yeah.
Oh. Because I saw thank you for spending 22 with us. And I just went off.
Yeah.
Let me see. All right. Let me see. So... Number 5, well, okay. You're not going to know any of these 4 songs, but there's 3 Yeet songs at 5, 4, and 2. There's a Gunna song at 3. Number 1, this is so weird because, like, it's just a single. Yeah. But obviously, it was a part of this person's album, but it came out as a single first.
Yeah.
Post Malone Cooped Up featuring Roddy Ricch. I listened to it 100. Apparently I listened to it 161 times.
Holy.
I know. I was like, did I fall asleep listening to it or what?
Yeah. Holy moly.
I guess I was just going through it, man.
Yeah, I guess. You were cooped up, literally.
I was cooped up.
Okay, interesting. You want to hear mine?
Did you listen to as many minutes as I did?
No, not even close. And I'm a music junkie. I listen to less than 15,000.
That is surprising.
I know, because I listened to a lot of pods this year. This is the most amount of time I spent listening to pods.
I wish they should have pods on. Do they have pods on your
Yeah, rap? I'm going to name the pod stats.
Perfect.
My top genre is pop. Which is a little surprising. I thought hip-hop would still be there.
Yeah.
My top five artists are number five, Nick D, TikTok sensation. Number four, Andy Mineo, who's always one of my favorites. Yeah. Number three, What Up RG. Shout out Gwinnett. Shout out Mexican-American homies. Number two, Giveon. And number one, no surprise, Kendrick Lamar. No surprise at all. The top five songs were Giveon's Lie Again from his new album. Number four was this band that I think is based in Austin. They're not very big at all, but they're called Night Traveler, and they have a song called I Still Love You that came out not even recently. It's one of their older songs, but it is fantastic. Shout out my boy Clark for putting me on them. My number three is It Could Be Worse from Andy Mineo's Neverland 2 that came out last year. My number two is N95 by Kendrick. That's pretty obvious. I thought the song with Tana Leone would make the top five, though, because I listened to that a lot this year. Mr. Morale, that song. And then my number one song, by a very wide margin, and I know it because when I listened to it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be my song of the year, is Crush by Zach Knowles, who I got to see the other day in concert, and it was awesome. It was cool to see him perform that song. He's like an indie pop, kind of like a lower key, like not as like hype music, but he's really good. He's an A&M boy, actually. He went to A&M. He just moved to Nashville. Great artist. So, that's my music stuff, my pod stuff. Okay, so for all you who have been listening, thank you so much. You're the best.
Oh, yeah.
My number one episode, by far, is the Fast Food Fanatics episode with Josh and Tobin. And I already told them that. They were like, cracking up. My listener's podcast personality is the enthusiast, whatever the heck that means. It says their listeners, or your listeners, are super fans. When their podcast releases a new episode, they're among the first to know, going above and beyond to show their support. So thank you to all my loyal people.
Oh, yeah.
Top 10 podcast for 63 fans, which I thought, oh, my gosh, 63 people have listened to this show. That is a lot more than I thought. I thought it would be like 20. Top 5 pod for 50 fans and number 1 for 16 fans, which I thought was like crazy.
That is.
And my pod stats, the final ones. Two countries, the U.S. and I don't know where the other country that listened to my show was, but I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
Worldwide.
Dennis and Friends Worldwide.
You need to add that in there.
Gosh, could you imagine?
Dennis and Friends Worldwide.
3,000 minutes over 40 episodes, which is pretty good. That's pretty good, man.
That is very
big
solid.
Fan. I'm not going to release my artist stats for like my own music yet. I'm going to wait to post that. I'm very much like I'm going to wait to like post stuff. Like I don't like posting it at the same time as other people because I'm just goofy like that. So.
Yeah. And also like those kind of numbers is like you kind of want to like I think it's pretty cool because like I've told you in the past, like, you know, your music has like come a long way. And so it's just like I'm interested to see it. Like I really am because it's like, you know, with proximity and everything, like that was a big hit.
I mean, I'm going to show you just right now just because you're here. Look at that. Yeah, dude.
Oh,
isn't that cool?
My.
That's so much more than I thought, especially that. Holy moly.
That, dude, I'm
well,
so.
Well, because first time got put on some random playlist that somebody put and it just kind of took off from there.
That made my day. I really did. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm getting my hoodie.
You better. Speaking of, a quick plug. Buy a shirt or a hoodie or a sweatshirt or a long sleeve shirt from my merch store. You can find the link to that in the show notes. Like every other episode because it's been there forever.
And I can't wait. I'm waiting for the day that we do our podcast like where you can see us.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I'm rocking that proximity hoodie. I'm getting that four screen proximity.
I know you like that one. If you want to help make that happen, just like give me money or something.
If you want to, if you want to, if you want to match,
I gotta get camera gear.
If you want to match with me, when I'm potting, if you want to wear the same thing as me, you'll go get yourself a hoodie.
Yeah, go get you one. Go get you one. Okay, are we good? Are we about done?
We're about done.
Really? Okay. Actually, hold on. Before we're done, I'm sorry, listener. You're like, why? Like, I'm ready to go. Can we talk about the Mavs? I've already done it
no,
today.
No, no, no.
Why?
I don't want to.
I know. It's annoying.
We ended the show at a perfect point. We got our plug, and I was really happy. And now you got me all fired up.
Well, I mean, this team makes me fired up for all the wrong reasons.
I know. I don't like this team. I don't.
Big rant incoming at some point whenever I do a Mavs episode again. I don't know when that's going to happen. But when that does happen,
there will be
lots of yelling.
I want to be there.
Okay. Why don't you? I think I want to do it with Noah. So, Noah, if you're listening, find a date that works for you and for Clayton, and we can do this together. Anyway.
Jet 2, honestly. Yes, bring everybody in.
Big rant session.
We need to break this down from a fundamental standpoint because it's just, I don't. There you go. That's a sneak preview of me in that episode. Because there's going to be a lot of like, it's just going to be a lot of things I want to say, but I can't.
Yeah.
Because it just irritates me.
Yeah. One more thing.
Sorry.
I keep dragging this out. What is on your Christmas list this year, now that it's December?
I just threw
that on you.
I know, but mine's really boring. So as you know, listener, you might know this because I think I mentioned it. I am moving out soon, so I asked my parents just to get me stuff for my apartment, like plates, cups, just the basic necessities.
Yeah,
not anything big. I got a pair of shoes, but nice. I bought those for myself because my mom was like, we could have bought this for Christmas. I was like, I kind of want my Christmas presents to go to. I feel old because I'm at the age where it's like, I don't want anything. Like,
yeah,
it's like there's not really anything I need. And I'm at the point where it's like I like giving gifts. And so like,
now
I have a job to where it's like, I can.
It's possible.
I can give gifts. And so. That's just how it gives me joy during the holidays is like giving.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. So it is nice having adult jobs to where we can like spend money on people that we really like.
You know?
Isn't that great? Okay. I think this is a good stopping point. Listener, thanks so much for being here. I know I just keep posting out the wazoo all these episodes, but I really appreciate it. You're sticking along for the ride. This will come out, I think it's going to come out tomorrow morning before the game. I'm going to try to finish it tonight. But thanks for being here. Much appreciated. If you like the show, give us a nice little review and rating on Spotify and Apple and all those places. And if you don't like it,
you need to let us know in the show notes as well. Or not the show notes, but leave a comment so we know what we can do to change it next time.
You can leave a comment in a review. You can email dennisandfriendspod@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that.
You can DM us.
You can DM us at dennisandfriendspod on Instagram. You can text me. You can DM me on Twitter. What?
Also, I have a quick plug. So Dennis and I are also doing a bracket challenge for the Qatar World Cup.
Oh, yeah.
For the round of 16. So if you want to join, DM us.
Yeah. Send the
we'll
link
get that started. ASAP. Well, you need to do it pretty quick.
Yeah, true.
It does end tomorrow at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
so.
Or 8 or 9.
They need
like
to fix it because it's broken.
Yeah, yeah. I need to ask about that or I need to figure out what's going on.
That's an ESPN thing. I don't think that's a you thing.
Also, I didn't make it. The funny thing is that Ryan, who is one of the hosts on the last or guests on the last couple episodes, he did it for me. Like, he texted me during the Stars game last night. He was like, oh, here you go. Send this to all the guests. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm going to do this for sure. So
that's awesome.
So shout out Ryan Owens.
Yeah, shout out Ryan. That was
what
dope.
A guy. What a guy. Yeah, follow Clayton and I on Insta and Twitter and all those places. Our handles are in the show notes and all that. Like I said, buy a nice little thing from my merch store. And don't forget to use the code ANGEL for free shipping, especially in the holiday season, because free shipping does sound really nice. And don't forget to listen to my music as well, especially my latest EP, Proximity, that came out in June. I don't know when we'll be back. I know it will probably be either Clayton or Dawson who comes back next. But we will obviously keep going. It's the round of 16. It's a really exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sticking with us and following along during this crazy World Cup season. But until then, be good and do good. You know what to do, senior.
USA, USA. It's not going home.
It's coming to Rome.
It's going to Rome, not home.